Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke chapter 11. We'll continue our study this morning on God the Father. Luke chapter 11, we'll begin reading in just a moment. Last week, we went over some things that Jesus taught us about God. Jesus taught us about God. We talked about how he taught us that God is a spirit. God is all powerful. God is all knowing. God is holy, he's righteous, he's loving, he's good. Of course, these are just a few of the things that Jesus has taught us, but those things we discussed last week. I said last week at the end of the lesson, I said this week we're going to talk about the outstanding truth that Jesus taught us about God. The outstanding truth that Jesus taught us about God. We're going to be there today. But let's begin with prayer. Father, we do rejoice, Lord, in this day that you've given us. Thank you for this time now to be in your house with your people. We ask you now, Lord, as we open the Word of God together, may the Holy Spirit be our teacher. May he lead us and guide us in all truth. Lord, we're grateful, Lord, for your love. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for our brothers and sisters that are here today and all those that some may be visiting. We thank you for them. Lord, help this time now as we come together not to be wasteful, but be profitable for all of us. Lord, as we focus into your word now, and Lord, try to glean from it the truths that you would have us to know, and not only to know, but to apply in our life. Thank you, dear God, again for all you've done for us this week now. Lord, we submit ourselves to you now, this time, and Lord, we just pray now your will be done in each of our lives. Bless those that are sick, hurting, now here today, for whatever reason, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, in Luke chapter 11, look at verse number 1 and 2. As we begin to talk about the outstanding truth that Christ taught us about God. You know, no doubt Jesus Christ was the greatest teacher that's ever been. No one could teach like he taught because he was all-knowing. He was God in the flesh. He was God's son. And what a tremendous teacher he was. And as we look today at him, we find in Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse number 1, it came to pass that as he, that is Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now, that word Lord there, he's talking about master, Lord. As we find here, he ceased to pray. One of the disciples, we don't know who it was, said, Lord, or master, owner, King of kings, Lord of lords. Master, Lord, of Lord, King of kings. He says, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And notice the response. And he said unto him, to them, all the disciples, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, as Jesus is talking here concerning prayer, he's summarizing some things here for the disciples concerning prayer. Now notice he says in verse number 2, when you pray, say, what's the next two words? Our Father. We see here as he gives ground here for prayer, upon a relationship. A relationship now is beginning to start. Up to this point, it was God. Now, Jesus is introducing to us a relationship, a personal relationship with God, our Father. So we see here, as we begin now, the outstanding truth that Christ told us about God is that he is Father. He is Father. Yes, God is my God, but God is my Father. He is your Father as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, not only is God your God, but He is your Father. He's Father. There is a relationship, a personal relationship. And it's, of course, all because of Jesus Christ and what He's done for us, you see. We see here this relationship is very good. We see here He reveals God here as having charge Himself of the responsibilities. God is the Father. He's responsible here. We see as we see here also, He says, our Father, our Father. His heart is glowing with affection as a father towards a child. Towards a child. In other words, God the Father looks at us as His children. We are His children. I'm thankful I'm a son of God, aren't you? I'm thankful I'm a child of God. He's my Father. He's my Father. And Jesus is introducing that to us as believers in Jesus Christ. Prayer, so it's like a child's petition, if you please, to an all-wise and all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful, not just God, but Father God. Father God is who He is. As a child of God, see. In this prayer, in this so-called Lord's Prayer here, we find here that Jesus Christ, this prayer, it teaches us the right way to worship our Father. Our Father. Now, worship is to adore, to praise God. When we praise God, we thank God, you know, for all He's done. There's a lot of things we need to praise God for, folks. We need to praise Him for even being here today. But this prayer is teaching us that we are to praise God. We are to praise Him. We are to begin with worship. Also, it talks about how we are, when we pray, we must realize that He accepts, we accept beforehand when we pray the Father's will, our Father. Even before we pray, we accept whatever that will is. When we go before Him, we're accepting it because He knows best. He knows best when we do pray. We also see we're leaving the future in the Father's care and love when we pray, our Father. Submitting all our anxieties, all our problems, all our cares into His hands because He knows best. So we see here a relationship, not just to God, but a relationship to God the Father. God is our Father. We have a personal relationship with Him. Thank God we can have it daily. We can have it anytime we want to during the daytime as God's children. He is our Father. He is our Father. And we rejoice in that fact that He is. And He said to us, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. As in heaven, so as in earth. Our Father. So we see this truth now that Jesus is teaching us about God. He is our Father. Our Father. Just as your earthly father cared for you, God cares much more for us than they did. But we have that relationship now as a believer, as someone who accepts Christ as our Savior. He is our Father. He is our Father. We see that here in the Lord's Prayer here. Now, turn back, to Matthew chapter 6. We see again another example of the model prayer here. In Matthew chapter 6, look at verse number 1. Jesus says this, take heed that you do not your sin, do not, excuse me, take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Verse number 2 says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have the reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when we pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask. After this manner therefore pray ye. Here it is, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, and we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We see here in this part of the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer, our Father, he's speaking about here how God himself created all. He's the creator of it all. We see also that he is the preserver of everything. He gives us what we need in our life, what we want. He provides our wants for us, even our daily bread. He provides it all. And we also see he is, we are now adopted into his family. We're his children. God is our Father. And God is our Father. We see here, he puts here to us the fact that who he is. He's God. He's our Father. And we're thankful for that. So we see the outstanding truth that, first of all, that God is our Father. He is our Father. Now, what is he Father of? We see, first of all, he is Father of all life. All life. Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. God is our Father, our Heavenly Father. John chapter 5. Begin reading verse number 19 in just a moment here. We see he's the Father of all life. You know, this is a pretty time of the year to me. You see these trees right here budding out? Aren't they beautiful? I mean, it just helps us to realize that somebody greater than mankind is in control right here. You know? I mean, man can't do that. All these beautiful trees. I mean, somebody greater than man is doing that, and it's beautiful. God has given us a beautiful place to stay, to live in this life that we have. But praise God, as children of God, we have a greater place to look forward to. But let's enjoy what God's given us today, amen? And rejoice in this and realize that God is the Father of all life. He's the Father of all life, no matter what we may be. In John chapter 5, beginning with verse number 19, we see here something true here in regard to this. We see here that Jesus is speaking here, and he said unto them, that is the Jews here, and all this, at the last part here we find what's taking place. And he said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now notice that word, the Son can do nothing of himself. That's an awesome statement, isn't it? Jesus Christ being God's Son, the very Son of God, nothing of himself. In other words, Jesus Christ did nothing that wasn't appointed of him by his Father. He did his Father's will. He did nothing but what God wanted him to do. There was nothing contrary he did to the Father. He obeyed his Father in all aspects of life. He obeyed him. Nothing. He was not separate from his Father. Him and his Father were one. They were one. And we see that's what it means here. It says, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. We see here, showeth him. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him. Showeth him. What does that mean? It means it makes him acquainted with. In other words, he does not conceal anything from him. You know? It's just like being open to him. You know, there are certain people that you want to be open with, especially your spouse and your children and all that. You want to be open to them about all things in your life. Well, this was the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. There was nothing concealed. There was nothing separated about them. They were just literally one. They were literally one. Now, notice in verse number 21, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son, what? Quickeneth whom he will. Quickeneth whom he will. We see here, quickeneth here. The Son quickeneth, that's gave life. Jesus did the same thing as the Father. He gave life. He gave life to you. He gave life to me when we trusted him as our personal Savior here. So we see here in verses 19 through 21, we see here the Lord's authority. The Lord's authority here on this earth. We see in verse 20, we see his love. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. The Father loved the Son and showeth him all things. He loved his Son. You know, God loves us, but he loved his Son much more. He loved Jesus because of what he did, for what he did. We also see the question of his life. Verse 21 says, for as the Father raises up the dead and quicken thee, even so the Son quicken whom he will. God, we see here the life here, we see. So we see here the Father and the Son, their relationship. But I go down to verse number 26. It says, for, let's go ahead and read the rest of these verses though. Verse 23. Verse 22. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. There again, we find that the judgment, when people stand before God, they will stand before the Son, because that's his office. That's his office given to him by the Father. That all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. In other words, when we honor Jesus Christ, who else do we honor? The Father. We honor God the Father. We honor him. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. We see here the power of the resurrection. We see here, they're going to be raised from the dead. Also, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. There again, God is the Father of life. He's the Father of all life. As he's given life to Jesus, he's given life to us. Verse 27, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. The Son of Man. So we see the relationship between the Father and the Son today. As we look at this truth, this outstanding truth about what Jesus teaches us about God, he is Father. He is Father. Now let's notice, again, verse 26 says, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Now, let's notice something about he is the Father of all life. He is the Father of all life. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Just a few things here this morning. Again, as I already mentioned about the trees today and how they're blooming out, they're very pretty. And God is doing all this for us that we might enjoy and have pleasure in them. Matthew chapter 6, verse 28, we see that God is the Father of all vegetation, flowers, everything we enjoy. Look at Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 28. And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Have you ever went out and just looked at a flower and tried to see how it's made? Isn't it marvelous? It's just unreal how God can create such beautiful things in this world as flowers. You know, if God clothes them, if God takes care of them, children of God, we can rejoice in the fact that we know God's going to take care of us. He's the Father of all life. He's the Father of all life. In Psalms chapter 104, turn back to Psalm 104, we see here that God is the Father of, He cares for all nature. All nature. Psalm 104, look at verse number 18. God is the Father of all life. He cares and tends for nature. Psalm 104, verse 18 says, the high hills are a refuge for the wild goats and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. We find in verse 21, the young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. From God. See, God takes care of all nature. Of all nature. He takes care of all life. Now turn on over to Psalm 147. 147. We notice something here about how God takes care of the weather for us. You know, that is a conversation piece for us. The weather. I mean, if it's cold, it's too cold. If it's hot, it's too hot. We're never satisfied, are we? I mean, that's just our nature. But folks, we have to realize that God's in control of this stuff. And we need to accept it like it is and then make the best of it, you know? Look in Psalm 147. Look at verse number 8. Who covereth the heavens with the clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. Look at verse 16. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. Now look at verse number 18. He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. God's in control of the weather. He's in control of life. He creates life. The Father of all life. Now go back to Genesis chapter 8. One thing here, as far as life is concerned. Genesis chapter 8, look at verse 22. All of you familiar with these verses, but just to remind us some things about how God is the Father of life. He's the Father of all life. He's our Father. He's your Father if you're saved today. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, just as a promise, says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall what? Not cease. Shall not cease. This is a promise from God. He tends, he carries out for the seasons that we have. Now you know as well as I know seasons have changed some. But yet God's still in control of them. He's in control of them. Man has nothing to do with it. You can read all the almanacs you want and probably a lot of that may be true. But God is still in control. He's in control of the almanacs, by the way. He gives man the wisdom even to put them out, you know, but he's in control. God is the Father of life, of vegetables, flowers, nature, weather, and the seasons that we enjoy. God is in control. Aren't you glad? You know, I'm glad that I don't live in Alaska. I mean, where there's snow on the ground probably 6 to 8 months of the year. I'm thankful that I wasn't raised there. You know, I'm glad that we have a variety where we live in North Carolina. We have cold, we have warm, we have hot, we have, you know, mild. All different seasons of the year God gives us. And folks, listen, that is a gift from God. That's a gift from God. And we sometimes take it for granted. instead of taking it for granted, listen, sometimes most of it, we just murmur about it. We murmur about it sometimes. And I find myself complaining sometimes about the weather. And I have to remind myself, hey, listen, buddy, you're not in charge. No, God's in charge. You just make the best of it and you let God do what he's doing. So we see that he's the father of all life. Now, number two, he's the father of our Lord Jesus Christ too. God, our Father. Turn over to John and chapter 8. John chapter 8. God the Father. He is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to stay in this chapter now for the rest of our lesson today. But in John chapter 8, we see Jesus himself, when he was here on this earth, he spoke more about the Father than any other subject. That was his favorite subject, was about his Father. He spoke more about him than anything else he spoke about. Now we see here that God the Father is Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 8, John chapter 8, look at verse number 16. John 8, verse 16. The Bible says, And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true. This is Jesus speaking, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. In other words, we see, first of all, that the Father sent the Son. The Father sent the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent him. Now, notice something else about this. Look at verse number 18. Verse number 18, Jesus says, I am the one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Not only did the Father send the Son, the Father bore witness of his Son. I'm the one that sent him. I'm the one that sent him. He acknowledged this to us here. We also see in verse number 28, John chapter 8, verse 28, look at it. The Bible says, then Jesus said unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. We see in that verse that the Father taught the Son. The Father taught the Son, and that's what he teaches. That's what he presents in the Word. God the Father taught the Son. Now, go down to verse 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Jesus said, the Father has not left me. He sent me. He bears witness of me. He has not left me. We are together. We are together, here he says. Now, look over in verse number 54. Jesus answered, he said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. We see here, he was totally satisfied. We see here, he honored the Son. He honored the Son. We see also in verse number 28, where we read a while ago, that he was pleased or satisfied with his Son. God the Father, we see he was totally satisfied by his Son. It pleased him, the Bible says. What he did, he pleased him. Therefore, there was a great commitment between those two. And we find in verse 54 how he honored the Son. He honored the Son. Now, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. God the Father is Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse number 9. Philippians 2, verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Notice, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now notice here, God has exalted his Son. He has exalted his Son in these verses we see. God has rewarded him by exalting him. He rewarded him because of his obedience. Jesus obeyed the Father, didn't he? He obeyed him. We see that he humbled himself in obedience to God the Father as a man. Jesus did. Now notice, first of all, we see God had given Christ a name above every name. He has highly exalted him. There's not a name any sweeter than Jesus. There's not a name any more precious than Jesus. I love to just to mention his name, don't you? I love sometimes just to start singing his name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. That name. People don't like to hear that. The world don't like to hear that name, but they need to hear it. And we as God's children need to say it more and present it more. There's something about that name. What's in that name? First of all, there's forgiveness of sin. Acts 4:12 tells us that. There's no other name in the heaven given to man whereby we what? Must be saved. There's forgiveness of sin in that name. That is that precious name. And God has highly exalted him and given him that precious name, Jesus, because of what he did. The name also gives us access to God's presence. The very access to God's presence. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, look at verse 1 and 2. Romans 5, verse 1 and 2. We have access of God's presence. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, by whom also we have what? Access by what? Faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We see here we have access to God's presence in that precious name. The name that God has highly exalted, Jesus Christ, because of his obedience. So we see here God has exalted his Son because of what he did. He's given him a name above every name. Number two, he has given him supreme power over all authority. He has given him supreme power. In Romans chapter 14, look at verse number 11. Romans 14, verse number 11, the Bible tells us this. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, Jesus said. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to God. We see here he has destined every knee to bow before Christ, God has. Every knee. That's every knee. Everybody is going to bow to Jesus Christ one day. That's God's plan. Therefore, he has exalted him. We find here he has given him supreme authority and power in his life. Number three, he has given him supreme worship. Every creature shall confess to Jesus Christ that he is the Son of God. He's given him complete worship, supreme worship. He is the one to be worshipped, not Buddha, not anyone else, not anything on a pole, but Jesus Christ. God has highly exalted him and given him that opportunity. Every creature on the earth, every nation, every tongue, every language, every person, every mind, every body, every race, every color, every shape, doesn't matter who's on this earth, every woman, man, child, boy, and girl, all are to confess Christ. They're going to worship him. One day. They're going to confess him. Every creature will do that one day. We see here in Philippians chapter 2, where we're, verse 11, the word Lord there again means master. Jesus was called Lord from the very beginning of his ministry. He was called Lord from the very beginning of his ministry. We see the title means that he is master, owner, King of kings, and Lord of lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful today that God the Father has taught us all things about Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has taught us about the Father, and he has taught us that God is Father. God is Father. I don't know about you, I'm so glad. I don't have an earthly father now, but I have a heavenly Father that I can always go to. No matter where I am, no matter what's going on in my life, he's still my Father. He'll never desert me. He's going to always love me. He's going to always be there for me whenever I call upon him. No matter what heartache I'm going through, what problems I'm going through, he's always there. He is always there. We find that he is Father of all life. He's the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next week, as we conclude this study on God the Father, we're going to see how He's the Father of all believers. He's the Father of all believers. My, what a privilege we have as a child of God to know we have a Heavenly Father that loves us, that cares about us, is always there. He's always there. Let's pray. Father, thank You for who You are. Thank You for Jesus who came to teach us and show us and to instruct us of who You are. Dear God, we just thank You, Lord, for the Word of God that You provided for us to instruct us concerning who You are for us and to us. Dear God, I pray, Lord, this lessons have helped somebody along the way, Lord, to realize that God is more than just God. To those that believe in God and trust Christ as Savior, He's our Father. Lord, He loves us. He's always there. We may be alone. We may live alone. We are alone a lot in life. But God, help us to realize that You are our Father and that You care about us. We can always go to You. We can always come before You because of who You are. Thank You, dear God, for this time. Thank You now for the service we're about to go into. I pray to God as we go into this service that You have Your will and way in each of our hearts and lives. If there's one in our midst that's lost, I pray the Spirit of God would draw that individual to Jesus Christ before it's too late. Lord, bless the singing. Lord, bless our preacher as he preaches today. Anoint him afresh. Give him power to speak what You've laid upon his heart. And God, challenge all of us to live for You until Jesus comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.